Father, we thank you for your presence. I just ask your help to be a vessel for you this morning. Teach us. Help us to learn what you desire. Speak into each of our hearts is what our prayer would be this morning. Amen. So the last couple sermons have been on intercessory prayer. And so some of this might be a repeat this morning. I'm not sure. I know some of it is. But I want to start again asking, what's intercessory prayer? And so if we go to Webster, if you want to go to intercede, that means to intervene between parties with a view that you want to reconcile differences. In other words, you're being a mediator. And if we look at the definition of intercession, it's the art of intervening for another. And so when we're interceding, I think in most of the cases, you're interceding between a person and our Heavenly Father. And so when I think of intercession, your intercessory prayer life is a reflection of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. And so I think that intercession, if we look, what's the difference between prayer and intercessory prayer? I think intercessory prayer is often more in the spiritual realm, if that's helpful. And so a lot of what we do in intercession is directed by the Holy Spirit, by God. God lives within us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And I want to start out just reading a scripture. If you have a mic, it's helpful. I listened to both Mike's and Barry's sermons this week, and you can't always hear someone reading scriptures. So if you have a mic, it would be helpful if someone's listening to the recording that you pick up that scripture. The first scripture, Jeremiah 7:16-9. If you have that, go ahead and read it. We have a lot of scriptures this morning, so you're going to learn just hearing God's word. Jeremiah 7:16-19.
Jeremiah 7:16-19. As for you, do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see what they are doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle fire, and the women knead bread to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. Is it I whom they provoke, declares the Lord? Is it not themselves to their own shame?
I thought this was interesting because intercessory is directed by God. And here's God is telling Jeremiah not to intercede. Isn't that a strange scripture? Don't pray for my people. And the reason God is doing this is because I don't think they were ready to change, the people of Israel. And so God is saying in this scripture that he wants to bring hardship on the Israelites so that they turn back to him. And if you read the Old Testament, that seems to be like a theme of the Old Testament. I often think in my life when I read like a book of Judges, am I in that same path, Lord? You know, I don't want to go down. We got to learn from our mistakes. But Judges, it's over and over and over. It's a cycle. People are faithful to the Lord. Times get good for Israel. And so then they start straying from the Lord, and they get into other things become more important than God. Other things in life are more important than God. And then they get to a point where things start not going well, and they start struggling, and then maybe a country would come in and conquer them, and then things would be really, really bad. And then they would repent and turn back to the Lord. And if you read through the book of Judges, this happens over and over and over again. And I think that's why God is telling Jeremiah not to intercede. But I just thought that's a unique scripture when God is telling you not to pray, isn't it? But there's always a reason. So when God asks you to intercede, it's also very important to listen. If he puts someone on your heart, because there's a specific reason that he wants you to be praying for him. So I asked the Holy Spirit, well, what do you want me to talk about, intercessory prayer? And so he put two things in my heart. And the one thing both Mike and Barry mentioned this in their sermons, is one of the things we do when we intercede, or if we use the definition of mediate, is we're standing in the gap. You've heard that phrase before. And so when God calls us to intercede, we're standing in the back, in the gap, and we're interceding for someone's relationship, often with the Lord. And so some of the things we intercede for would be forgiveness, repentance, salvation. They all kind of go together. Protection, spiritual protection, sanctification. We can intercede for someone to become more godly, more like God, more sanctified. We'll see that in a lot of the scriptures we want to go through. Healing, spiritual healing. We often talk of physical healing, but spiritual healing is very important. It's one of the things we can intercede for. We can intercede for strength to endure. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that life is going to be easy always. And so sometimes Satan will use whatever he can. He'll bring problems. He'll bring all kinds of things in your life to get you to not focus on your Heavenly Father. So those are some of the things we intercede for. So we're just going to look at 10 scriptures this morning, and I want you to just listen to what's going on in these scriptures. They're all about someone interceding for someone. It all has to do with bringing people, that connection between someone else and the Lord. It can be a group of people, or it could be an individual. So let's just listen to these scriptures. We're going to start in the Old Testament, Exodus 32, 11 to 14. So if you have that, you can...
Exodus 32. Moses tried to calm his God down. He said, "Why, God, would you lose your temper with your people? Why, you brought them out of Egypt in a tremendous demonstration of power and strength. Why let the Egyptians say he had it in for them? He brought them out so he could kill them in the mountains, wipe them right off the face of the earth. Stop your anger. Think twice about bringing evil against your people. Think of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you gave your word, telling them, 'I will give you many children, as many as the stars in the sky, and I'll give you this land to your children as their land forever.' And God did think twice. He decided not to do the evil he had threatened against his people."
This is an interesting scripture because does anybody agree with me? I don't think God changes his mind. When he sets a principle or a purpose, it doesn't change. And he always sticks by this. But here it seems like some of these scriptures that God's changing his mind because he's ready to destroy the people. The people, I think, deserve to be destroyed. And so Moses stands in the gap and prays for God's people. God wanted somebody to pray for his people. And Moses does that, and God doesn't destroy the people. I don't think God intended to, but he wanted somebody to be praying. He wanted someone to realize what's going on, how bad things are. And Moses, what's he praying for? Forgiveness. He knows there needs to be forgiveness between the Israelite, this is a group of people, and the Lord. And so he was interceding for forgiveness on their behalf. Job 42, 7 to 10. I love the ending part of Job. It's the best part of the book, but...
One of my favorite books. "And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept them, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has.' So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job loses when he played for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before.
Okay, so Job is praying for three of the four friends that were there with him. And we don't know what he prayed. It doesn't tell us. But we know from this scripture that Job was praying for repentance. Repentance needed to take place. And so Job is interceding, even though we don't know exactly what he said to the Lord, but he's interceding for his friends that there would be repentance between them and the Lord. And we can see that that's what happened from the scripture. 1 Samuel 7, verses 5 to 9.
Then Samuel told them, "Come to Mizpah, all of you, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered there, and in a great ceremony, drew water from the well and poured it out before the Lord. They also went without food all day as a sign of sorrow for their sins. So it was at Mizpah that Samuel became Israel's judge. When the Philistine leaders heard about the great crowds at Mizpah, they mobilized their army and advanced. The Israelis were badly frightened when they learned that the Philistines were approaching. "Plead with God to save us," they begged Samuel. So Samuel took a suckling lamb, offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering, and pleaded with him to help Israel. And the Lord responded.
So Samuel, again, this is someone interceding for a group of people. Job, it was three people, but here's all the Israelites again. We see a lot of this in the Old Testament. Samuel is interceding for repentance again. And also, I think, as we could probably interject there or see that he's also interceding for strength because of what they're about to face with the Philistines marching against them. Daniel 9, 3 to 19.
So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, "O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princesses, and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants and prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done in Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning away from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear our prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name.
You can catch a little bit of a glimpse of Daniel's relationship with the Lord there, what he thought of the Lord, how awesome God is, and how he's just asking him for forgiveness and repentance for Israel. It's over and over and over again we see through Scripture. We're going to go to the New Testament now, and we're going to look at someone who's interceding for one person in Scripture, and it's Jesus and Peter. Before we do that, I wanted to say this at the beginning and forgot. There's going to be a time after the sermon, if you have questions or if the Holy Spirit impresses anything on you that you'd like to share. So write those down, and I can't answer your questions, but maybe God can. Okay. So be prepared to do that as well. So we want to go to Luke 22, 31, and verse 31 and 32.
Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
This is a very short scripture, but what Jesus is doing here is very important. But let's look at where Peter is at when Jesus does this. Peter thinks that Jesus is Messiah. He thinks that Jesus can do anything, and he's right. And so he doesn't understand all the stuff that's coming up. So he thinks he's ready and prepared for everything that's coming, and he's not. And Jesus tells him right after what Merle read is that you're going to forsake me three times. And he had no idea he was going to do that. And so Jesus is praying for something that hasn't happened. He's praying for protection over Peter, that when he goes through this difficult time, that Satan isn't going to get to him. He's praying for spiritual protection. He's also praying for spiritual healing. There needs to be healing for Peter after he denies Jesus. So Jesus is praying for something that's not needed right now, but it's going to be needed. So maybe God will ask you to intercede sometime. You have no idea why, but when he asks us to do something, we just need to be obedient and pray for a specific person, for a specific reason, if he gives us that. John 17, verses 15 to 19. This is Jesus' intercessory prayer, the whole chapter of John 17.
I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved me.
Okay, this is kind of a neat scripture because Jesus is praying for us. And the one thing he's really praying for, I think, is for unity. So I guess Jesus knew what kind of people we would be over here, even in America and everywhere else in the world, how we have differences and we always can do this and argue. He wants us to be in unity. So he's praying, basically, I think, for spiritual healing. 2,000 years ago, he's praying for you, Claire, right now, and you, Mary. Isn't that amazing? You know, he knew that we would need that type of thing. And then in John 17, 15 to 19, someone have that one. It's right before those verses.
Stop. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They are not part of this world any more than I am. Make them pure and holy by teaching them your words of truth. As you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself entirely to you so that they also might be entirely yours.
So this is just a section where Jesus is praying for his disciples in the same prayer, but he's praying for protection and sanctification, that they would become more like Jesus as they matured and after he was gone. And in Acts 7, 59 and 60,
while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep.
So the deacon Stephen is being stoned to death, and what's his prayer? He's interceding for those who are killing him, that they would be forgiven and ultimately come to know the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And what did Jesus do on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. Jesus is praying the same thing. So that tells us a little bit, if you have enemies, really you shouldn't, if it's someone that needs to know the Lord. Isn't that amazing that Stephen would do that in his last breath? Ephesians 3, 14 to 19.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Here Paul's praying for a church that meets in Ephesus. He's praying for their strength, sanctification. Again, we see in the Old Testament, we see a lot of forgiveness and repentance, and we see a lot of sanctification, I think, in the New. You see both, I think, both places. The last one I have is Romans 10:1. It's very, very short and very obvious what Paul's praying for.
Brothers, my heart desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved.
Paul's praying for the salvation of all of Israel. So when God calls you to intercede for someone, or if he calls you to intercede for a group of people or two or three people or maybe just a church, all those things can happen. You're standing in the gap for them. You're called to stand in the gap. Sometimes, like when Jesus prayed for Peter, you're praying for someone who doesn't even know they have a need, or someone might think that everything's really good in life, but Paul or God might call you to intercede for them in a specific reason. I've done this already, and people have done this to me. Sometimes you might pray for somebody who asks you, hey, could you pray for me? I need to go. I'm going into spiritual battle with somebody, kind of thing. And so you pray for that person. But did you ever not know how to exactly pray for someone like that? Because they don't know what's going to happen. If someone's going to cast out a demon or something, and do you think they know what's going to happen? So they might ask someone to pray for you. And so how do you pray when you're not sure how to pray? And so the second thing, and it's amazing that God chose me, I guess, to do this, but the second thing he put in my heart was to talk about tongues. And that's something we don't talk about much in the church. And if I want to give you a little bit of background, I thought, well, why don't you have Mike or Calvin do that, Lord, is what I said. I'm not a big tongues person. I want to talk a little bit about tongues. We're going to look at Romans 8, 26 and 27. So let's read that first, and then I'll share a little bit where I'm at in tongues so you understand.
8, 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God.
Intercessory prayer, I think I said this before, it's more spiritual. So we're dealing a lot with the spiritual realm. And so when we talk about tongues, there's two types of tongues. There's a more of a corporate tongues, which I think would be more like a 1 Corinthians 12, when it talks about the spiritual gifts, it talks about speaking in tongues and then interpreting tongues. And so that form of tongues, I think, could be used a couple ways. In Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came on the apostles, they're speaking in tongues. And remember, Peter said people thought we were drunk because they didn't understand. They were just like babbling. And yet, in that form of tongues, there were people who were hearing the gospel proclaimed in their own language that the disciples didn't know how to speak. And so it was a miraculous thing that they were speaking, and yet you were hearing it in your own language. So that's one form of tongues. The other form of tongues would be if someone has a word from the Lord and they would speak it in a congregation, and then someone would interpret it. Okay, and I was never a big person in tongues. I never desired to have the gift of tongues. I thought tongues was a gift that could be most abused, but also faked. Like, you could easily just start babbling, you know. And so I thought it was more divisive in churches sometimes than helpful. Does that make sense? But that's kind of where, I'm just telling you where I was at. And still I'm a little bit in that part. But then there's another part of tongues, the individual part. And that would be considered a prayer language. And I think that's where this scripture here in Romans comes into play. And so, if you don't know how to pray, if you're not sure how to, you're sensing you're supposed to be praying something, but you're not sure what to say, then the Holy Spirit can help. And you actually would pray in a spiritual language that you have no idea what you're saying. But to do something like this, you have to have a good relationship with the Lord. You have to really love the Lord, and you want to really desire to serve the Lord. And I don't understand everything that goes on in the spiritual realm, because we don't live there. But praying in tongues opens things up, I believe, in the spiritual realm, and is very, very impactful. And so there's times, like Romans, when you don't know what to say, you don't know what you're going to do, and what Romans says, the Holy Spirit is going to help you in your weakness, and it's going to pray for us when we don't know what to pray. So when you do that, it's connecting you to the spiritual realm. Using a prayer language in intercession is not an acknowledgement of strength. It's an acknowledgement that you don't know what to do. You don't know what to pray. You're not sure how to do it, and so you're going to let the Holy Spirit do it for you. So in a sense, it's a kind of just acknowledging who we are and who God is, too, when you do that. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's when we talk of intercessions, you don't have to do that. I'm just saying I think that's something that will help you go to a little deeper level. And so there's some other things that are important in interceding that go along with that. So 1 Corinthians 12, if you're familiar, is about spiritual gifts and the body of Christ and how that kind of works together. And 1 Corinthians 14 is a little bit about the danger of tongues if they're not used right, that's where Paul goes in that he wished everybody would speak in tongues, but it's better to prophesy in church than speak in tongues because everybody can hear and it's edifying. But it also goes in how the, a little bit how the gifts should function in an orderly worship service. In other words, there shouldn't be chaos when you gather to worship. Someone tell me what's between those two chapters, because this is important. The love chapter. And so when we intercede, love is very, very important. Okay, this is a question for you to answer now. I mean, so why do you love people? What helps you to love someone?
Because Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves you. Or maybe you love someone because you have something in common, or but why do you love people?
God said so.
That's a good answer, Jerry. Okay, so what keeps you from praying for certain people? Do you have trouble with that sometimes? Apathy. I think I'd have trouble praying for Adolf Hitler. If I would have been. So are there things that keep you from praying for someone?
Unforgiveness.
Yeah, that's.
Judgmental.
Judgmental.
Bitter and anger.
Bitter and anger. Good. Those are all good things to share. So, if you want to intercede for someone, you need to have a deep love for them. And so, if there's things like that in my life that's keeping me from praying some, then maybe I have to forgive them for something they did. Or maybe I have to just realize that, get off my high horse and get down on the ground. But people are dying and going to hell. And maybe because I can't pray for them because they've offended me some way, or they're lost, there's no hope for them, or there's all kinds of things that would keep us from praying for someone. But to be an intercessor, we need to have a deep love for everybody. We need to realize what's going to happen to people if they don't know Jesus. And we have to have a heart for them. We need to have a love for people we don't even know. We have a list that Mary reads every morning, just some of the names of people we met. There's a reason for that. It's not just, we have to listen to this list of names again. Ask the Holy Spirit, is there someone on there you want me to pray for? Or maybe the Holy Spirit has directed some of you to do that already, and you're praying for some of those people. That's the purpose for that. There are people we don't really even know. If we pray for some of the kids at Teen Central, Mary, Mike or Luann may know someone, but I don't know any of them. But if we have a deep love for them, we can pray for them. And so that's important in interceding. And I know I struggle with that sometimes because there's some people you don't feel like praying for. I mean, that's human, but we shouldn't feel that way. So we need to find out why we don't have a love for them and deal with that. And we have to love people who may not like us. It's easy to love someone that loves you, isn't it? But it's hard to love somebody that doesn't like you. But God may call you to do that because that person may need to know Jesus. Another thing that I think we saw in a lot of the examples, when you intercede, use Scripture as much as possible. Maybe Luann's struggling with something and just having a very difficult time dealing with it. And so you can pray something like, well, I can do all things through Christ. You know, we can do all things. Luann can do all things through Christ. I mean, put scriptures like that. Or, I will never leave you or forsake you. I mean, use scripture. And a lot of this intercessory, I really like Daniel because he kept saying all these good things about God, who God was and what he can do. You know, use scripture when you're interceding for somebody. Be persistent. This is the part I don't like. I'm a McDonald's type person. I like to get my meal like in 2 seconds and, you know, go and eat it. Sometimes when you're interceding for someone, it could take months or years. I know parents who prayed years and years and years for their children, and some of those prayers were answered. But it's not always easy. There's a scripture in Luke about, I think you know this, a persistent widow and an unjust judge. This is what it says, Luke 18, verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." And then he tells the parable of the persistent widow. The unjust judge had no intention of giving justice to this lady, but she persisted, kept over and over bugging him, and he got so tired of her bugging him, he said that even though I don't really care, I'm tired of her bugging me all the time, I'm going to grant what she's asking for. But Jesus told that parable because he didn't want his disciples to always, he wanted them to always pray and not give up. So isn't that persistence is important? Rely on the Holy Spirit to help you. It's not something that's always easy. Like I said, we don't know what we're praying on for sometimes. I think the Holy Spirit has to give you a desire to pray for somebody. Like if he puts someone on your heart and you don't know why, look at what you can pray for them about. How can you intercede for that person? Sometimes we just have to make time in our schedule to do that. Sometimes we get so busy with work and everything else. One of the things we do at work is we change tires. Well, it doesn't take a lot of thinking when I'm changing tires. It's a good time to pray. You know, it takes a little thinking, but not a lot. So that's something you can do as well. So I want to close this morning with this gets back to standing in the gap. Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. Remember what the result of is when there's no intercession, when there's no one to stand in the gap for you. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. And this is a result. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. So if God asks you to intercede, it's critical that you do that. And so intercession is something we talk about, but we need to practice it, I think, in a little maybe deeper level than what we have in the past. So those are the two things that God put in my heart this morning. Before we close with prayer, questions or comment? Yes, the lady in the back with her hand up. Paul said that I wish everyone would speak in tongues. But his concern was, I think it's great for a prayer language. I really do. And I didn't desire tongues at all. I didn't want tongues. I just thought it was more divisive. But it doesn't matter what I want, as long as, if the Lord wants. And so I just woke up one night and didn't know what I was speaking. But primarily, I think it's very, very valuable in a prayer language, because we're dealing with the spiritual realm, and I don't understand all that goes on in the spiritual realm. There's so much beyond what we can comprehend that's going on there. So I think it's very valuable in that sense. I don't want to be critical. I was sharing you a little bit how I felt personally, and God can change that yet. But it is a gift that God gives. No, I don't think I was older, I think, but I think the key is desire the Lord, and the Lord will give you that if He wants you to have that, or if you need to have that to be interceding. Does that? Yeah. And sometimes it's just the fact that you don't know anything to say, and so these words come out, but you have to be connected to the Holy Spirit, I think, for that to work right. Mike, do you have any?
I believe from Scripture that this is a gift that you want you to have, but it comes as part of being filled with the Spirit. Some people think everyone's filled with the Spirit. Well, that's just not so. And there's portions in Scripture here where people were believers but weren't filled with the Spirit, and then the apostles came and laid hands on them, and then they received the Spirit. And oftentimes, as a sign that they're filled with the Spirit, they speak in another tongue. Sometimes it says that they were filled with the Spirit and they saw supernatural things going on. They don't say speaking in tongues, but it says it several times in Scripture that that is a sign that you are filled with the Spirit. And so maybe if you're not speaking another tongue, maybe just not are filled with Spirit. And I was not, and I asked the Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And it took a while, because I'm pretty dense, but He gave me that. It was a gift. It's nothing that Mike deserved. And then He gave me that, and then I was asking for this gift of tongues. And it took a long time. But, because again, I thought He would make me say the words. I don't think you have to practice. I think He'll give you a couple of syllables or something, and it'll happen. I think practicing that's not of the Lord. But again, it's a gift. It's nothing that whoever has this gift is not more spiritual. It's just something that God gave them. But I think to have the gift, I think you need to ask for it, desire it. I believe that's part of it. I know some people that never asked for it and got it, like Scott. I know some other people that received it and didn't really ask for it, but they've used it. And it's a great blessing. It's a great blessing.
Yeah, Mike and I probably would be not agree 100%, but we both, it's a real thing. It is. And God, it's in Scripture, It's one of the gifts that He gives.
The word that came up as you were preaching was begging. I am not a beggar. And so I remember with raising the children, I said to them, if you keep begging, I'm not going to answer you. And so I think intercessory prayer goes beyond just praying like we do normally on a Sunday morning. And I think that's where the Spirit, I intercede for somebody, I don't even have words. I'm not saying I have the gift of tongues, but I'm just in His presence. I don't know what to pray. And I think intercessory just goes a whole, it's not begging. If I have to beg, then I'm not doing it.
Begging, well, maybe I'm wrong here. I think of begging as I want something, so I'm begging, but
half of that person,
yeah.
Which that's not what it is. I don't think that's
right. That's right. There's, I think the love is such an important thing, yeah, and it's hard. That's a subtle difference, but it has to do with our hearts. So,
and I think you have
there's some people that I feel led to pray for, and I don't know how to pray for them. I mean, but I sense that God wants me to pray for salvation and that they would come to know him. But I don't know the whole story of their life, but God does. So, yeah, I don't know if that's helpful, but.
Help me understand that I only intercede for people if I love them a whole lot.
I think the love is what should be driving our intercession. We have to have a love for the lost. We have to have a love for people that don't know Jesus. We have to have we want them to come to know the Lord, and we have to really have, I think, a heart for that. That's where I was sensing that we're to come from.
I have interceded for people that I didn't love necessarily per se, but I knew
that
brother that got hit in the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. Being the bicycle thing. I mean, I intercede for him, but I don't love him.
God loves everybody. Yeah, I mean, you don't know him because you're saying you don't know him, but you still have to have a love for that person to intercede for him.
That comes from a love for humankind.
Yeah.
You don't know him personally, but you have a love.
Thank you. Good point.
I intercede for Putin. I do. I lift him up to the Lord. I said, Lord, change his heart. I mean, this is a man that is duped. He is turned over to the enemy. I mean, he needs to know the truth. He needs, and God loves them. And so I'm praying in God's will. He doesn't want any to be lost, but all to come to repentance. And so, yeah, I'm going to pray for this man. Even though he's doing all these wrong things, who's behind it? It's the enemy. He's just completely blinded to the truth. And so I'm saying, Lord, break through for this man.
And it's a parable with a persistent lady. I mean, it feels like she's begging. But when you read that very first verse again, he says, so I'm telling you, that you ought to pray and not lose heart.
Are your translations?
There's a difference of begging. I agree with Joanna's. You know, like, I heard you. Now just rest in this, you know. But we're supposed to continue seeking and not lose heart. And that's easy to lose heart. Like, you don't see it, you know. But, yeah.
I used to think that. Well, I prayed for Jerry today, so God knows my heart. I prayed for him. I don't have to pray for you every day, or you know what I mean? And I don't think that that's right. I mean, I think that's where I was, but I think there's just some connection in the spiritual realm, though, that I think we affect when we do that. And, yeah, and persistence is important, but, right, it can't be begging. So I...
Perseverance,
yeah. There's something that goes on in the spiritual realm when we do that. And even though we don't understand how that all works, but I think it's important.
Well, I think in the scripture that I read to you from Samuel, they didn't eat. They fasted.
Fasting often.
Mm-hmm. Fasting in that scripture.
There's a couple of those, yeah.
One of the fundamental things I am challenged by this discussion is, you know, do I truly care about people enough to intercede for them? And I know I would say my level where I'm at is much... That much more basic level is God just help me even care about the way you care about them, because, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know if that's my thought that, oh yeah, I need to intercede for someone. It's, I'm in my own little bubble and my own little world and with my own problems.
It's easy to intercede for someone you know really well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think we're called beyond that at times. I don't want to, any other comments, or I appreciate when we discuss like that, I think it helps us all learn a little better. The other thing I really struggle with a lot was what's the difference between intercessory prayer and prayer? I mean, because there's differences, and that's why I thought one is more spiritual and the other might be more in the physical realm. That makes sense. But we need to pray. We all know that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being here with us today, and it is a difficult subject, but we want to learn from you, Lord. And so this week, I just pray you would impress upon us people that we could pray for or intercede for, and help us learn, Father. Help us to get better at it. We know that you're calling us to do that, and it's important for the revival, I think, in Mannheim. And so we just thank you for what you're going to teach us and how you're going to work in each of our lives this week. Help us to be obedient to you, Father. Help us to take the time to listen to you when you speak to us. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you've spoken into our hearts today. And we just thank you, God, for being the awesome God you are. We love you. And so thanks for being here again. And we know you'll be with us all through this week. We thank you for that. It's just special when we're together as a body. So we're thankful that we could do this here in this country. In your name we pray, amen.